I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to Portland musician David Arnett Cherry. Find out more about his music at davidarnettcherry.com. It's been more than a year since I featured my guest, Damaris Webb. So much has happened since then, and I'm eager to find out what's been going on with her. Damaris Webb is an actor, director, teaching artist, and the co-director of Vanport Mosaic. She has performed her solo show, The Box Marked Black, Tales from a African-American Growing Up Mulatto with Sock Puppets, for several years. And she's been one of the finest directors I know. And she's directing a solo show soon for the Fertile Ground Festival, which we'll talk about later. But first, I want to welcome back Damaris Webb.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Dee Mae. What a sweet and wonderful introduction. My goodness.
Well, we've known each other through the years, but I've seen, I think, most everything you've directed so far in town. And it's just remarkable, the last play, Pipeline, at Portland Playhouse. And then, of course, I'm blanking on the name, but the wonderful show with Lauren Steele. I mean, that was, what was it,
Queen's Girl in the World with Clackamas Rep, yeah.
Just wonderful work. And, of course, Sold. And, you know, there's just so many shows to name. At Vanport Mosaic, you know, Left Hook, to name one at least. So anyway, it's just a pleasure to see you, because I can't believe it's been since the pandemic started in March. It's almost a year now. And I believe it's probably been that long since we've seen each other, definitely by person. I don't think we've even been on any Zoom calls together or anything. So it's been at least a year. Yeah, probably since Pipeline, when that was. And doesn't that seem like a long time ago?
You know, it's like time is so long and then so quick right now. It's very hard to hold on. And I think that's been true for everyone in the world. So how we're finding our relationship to time. Yeah,
it seems like it's long and then it's quick in the ways that each day sort of seems like the same to me. So it's hard to tell, you know, which day is it now, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's
I was saying to a friend, it's I know it's the day that it's supposed to rain a lot, or the day where we're supposed to have some more sun.
I agree with that. It's like today was a day with a little sun. You're right. And then it's going to rain a lot the next day, right? So that's it's almost like we're going back to a time where life was like that, you know.
Yeah,
you consulted the Farmer's Almanac and you knew what you were gonna do. Go out there or not.
That's true, Dime.
That's going way back, you know. But it does, it in many ways it seems simpler. How have you been through all this?
Well, that's a hard thing.
I mean, a lot of people have been going through a lot of self-reflection. I have. I've certainly learned what I don't want to go back to, and, you know, the changes that I've made in my life that I'd like to keep in many ways, you know? And what have you been thinking about?
Whew. This has been the multiple pandemics entwined with COVID, with Black Lives Matter movement, and trying to understand how to stay cracked open and curious. That's what I've been feeling my work should be for myself personally, as well as in my communities. And, I think anything that I would have to say, other people have experienced as well. Sometimes this feeling of the possibilities, you know, I mean, I would say that one thing is absolutely true, that we, or at least for myself, I have been suffering. I have been in pain, but I have been alive. And a lot of things that maybe even for myself, I didn't want to face or interact with on such a cellular level, I've been forced to. And although that is messy and painful and confusing and terrifying, and I want to push it away, I hope that, you know, when we look at this time, and there wasn't a firm line in the sand when the new year turned over, right? That we have the opportunity to learn and carry forward from these experiences. Otherwise, you know, all of this was for nothing.
Well, we've certainly in our lifetime have never experienced this lengthy period of change where it seems like it keeps on going, you know, because there's so much work that I think as a country we have not faced, you know. Yeah. And right now as we're talking, it's the day after, because this is pre-recorded, it's the day after Trump supporters stormed the Capitol building that left people dead and essentially was an insurrection. And I think that the overwhelming thought to me, besides just the horror of seeing how well the police treated these rioters, these domestic terrorists, you know, how well they were treated. And it was a stark contrast to the Black Lives Matter protests and how there was such an overreaction to that ended it with so much violence that was unnecessary, you know, to peaceful protests. And so that stark contrast still shows how much more work we still have to do.
Yeah, and I was talking to Martha Bakes' playwright, Don Glenn, earlier today, and we were reflecting on, you know, back in 67, when the Black Panthers armed, you know, entered the California Assembly, no violence happened. And when the police finally decided that these Black people with guns, this was too much, were escorted out, you know, they were arrested very closely thereafter for, you know, a seditious behavior. And then, you know, the FBI rounded them up, right? There were charges placed against them. You know, they were incarcerated, or they were broken apart, right? And then yesterday we had people literally breaking in to the Capitol building with the Confederate flag. With the Confederate flag, that war happened. It's over. And Congress was stopped. People were terrorized. So what justice will happen here? This is really my question. And this is, you know, and then going back to look at, last year was the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment and the ratification of the Constitution to give women the right to vote, and that it took that long for our Constitution to be amended, for women to be included. But, you know, somehow the women did not rise up for a revolution and insurrection. So, I mean, the subtitle of this play, Martha Bakes, that's coming up, I mean, that, I was talking with Don this morning, he was like, wow, a revolution and insurrection that never happened. And then we had this yesterday. So, you know, there have been a lot of people who have been unhappy about the pace with which progress happens, or with their lot in life. And yet we, you know, live in the United States of America, and we have faith in our democracy. And to look at yesterday, it was like, well, here we are. The last vestige of bandages have been ripped off.
Well, I do want to talk about Martha Bakes, but I'm also, as I'm listening to hear, you know, as I'm listening to you, I'm reminded of last June at a Black Lives Matter protest here in Portland. You gave a speech. And it was very moving. And you talked about how people should use their privilege. I'm going to play a clip.
But the question is, how will I use my privilege, my sphere of influence? Don't tell. In the theater, we are asked to step into the lives of other characters on the daily. But for Black and Brown performers, all too often the roles that we are invited to embody include the story of a lynching, the narrative of a slave, the downtrodden exploits of a small-time hustler, or perhaps even more insulting, that second or third-tier Shakespearean character that producers feel safe casting as racially ambiguous. Yes,
Our stories need to be told, all of them, even the painful and traumatic ones. But whose lens are our brown and black bodies' stories being told through? The irony is not lost on me that Broadway is nicknamed the Great White Way. Don't tell. White leaders of established theater companies in Portland, good people, have confided to me that they would like to do more POC-centric stories, but they're concerned their patrons aren't ready for it. What about you? Are you ready for it? Yeah. Don't tell.
So in your speech, what did you mean by don't tell show?
I'll speak for myself, and what my call would be is that we need to, by the actions that we take, not just by our, lip service or, oh, that seems like a good thing, like literally on the line, in the room, what are the actions that we will take? And I can't say what they should be. Everyone has to decide that for themselves. But you need to show, not just tell, that things are going to change or that you are engaged in the process.
Do you feel that a lot of times people talk the talk?
Sure. And I mean, I know that I've been in that same place before, and that, the three, I hope I'm not going to get it wrong, but the tenets of the Buddhist teachings, you receive them first, and then you have to contemplate them. You have the teachings that come to you, and then the action that happens. And so it's not an overnight process, and we're all going to be at different places on the spectrum, and that's okay. It's not like we all need to be doing the same thing or saying the same thing. So I would say that speaking and becoming familiar, educating yourself and becoming familiar with history, knowing your history. If we're going to talk about the Constitution, let's know the Constitution and how the government works to engage that way. But then you need to decide how you are going to take action. It's not enough to say, well, that, you know, this should change. Oh, I just feel bad about that. It's like, what are you going to do? Is it about how you spend your money? Is it about your physical activism? Is it about speaking up? Yes, it is talking in a room where something is going a way that you know morally and legally should not be going. And then when it comes to money, when it comes to business, because that is right, how we move in this United States of America, where are we going to make those financial things show, right?
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm talking with Damaris Webb, director, actor, and co-director of Vanport Mosaic. And you can find out more about Vanport Mosaic at vanportmosaic.org. And I have that info at stageandstudio.org too. As you describe how we can show, I'm also thinking in terms of how Portland has shown how it's changed through the years, and certainly through Vanport Mosaic, you have documented history of gentrification and displacement of people of color here, of especially Black Portlanders and the Black community. But I'm wondering what your personal history is, as a third generation Black Portlander. What changes have you seen in the earlier years?
Yeah, well, part of that is just some of the changes you've seen here in Portland as a whole. I mean, I think we all, a lot of Portlanders, bemoan the Californication of people moving up. And at the same time, the financial opportunities have grown here. And I mean, I'm hopeful by I hope that it's not a situation of this being the taste of the day, the burger that's on the menu right now, that Black Lives Matter and support of Black artists and Black businesses. I hope that this, will really be the walk, the show that Portland does. I mean, I know when my dad was, here is a younger man. He sat at the lunch counters. You know, he tried to engage those ways. I mean, there were businesses that he was turned away from. You know, and I hope, I mean, I know it is not true. I know it is still not true that all businesses here in Portland are accepting, but like my ability to walk through Portland is different from how my dad's ability or my grandmother's ability was to walk through Portland. And, you know, also by virtue of the fact that I'm a lighter skinned Black person, I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm more, you know, passable. And I think that Portland as a whole is engaged with these conversations and the terminology in a different way. I mean, this is a learning curve for all of us, right? Me included. I do see that. I do feel that. And at a Black Lives Matter rally this summer, I was struck by one of these Black speakers saying, you know, you white people who are showing up every night and saying Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. You know, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm actually beginning to believe that you really feel that. And that broke my heart and was also deeply true.
In your solo show, I keep coming back to it because it's so memorable, The Box Marked Black, you tell several stories about your childhood. Can you describe some of them?
I grew up, my father's a Black American, my mother's white American, a Finnish American, first generation on my mother's side. And then my parents were living in Africa. My father was working for USAID when I was born. And so we spent several years in Tanzania and in Botswana. So I have an even more confusing perspective about race or different experiences. And being in Africa and knowing that even though you were brown-skinned, you were not African, you know, knowing that there were certain places that, I remember traveling with my parents and going to, I think it was Puerto Rico. I mean, we'd been in South Africa during apartheid. And then to be in Puerto Rico, which was the place where I remember the most overt racism that we experienced in Puerto Rico. And this neighborhood that I live in a house that my father's parents first lived in and owned here in Portland. So I'm the third generation here in this house in Irvington. And definitely my neighborhood has changed. There's, you know, this was, when I was growing up, a predominantly Black neighborhood. And now on my block, Margaret Carter lives on my block. And then there's two other Black families that are on my block.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm talking with Damaris Webb, director, actor, and co-director of Vanport Mosaic. And you can find out more about Vanport Mosaic at vanportmosaic.org. And I have that info at stageandstudio.org too. Before we talk about Martha Bakes, I'm wondering, will there be a Vanport Festival in May again?
Yes, although, you know, that there will be a large percentage of things that will be virtual again. And then we're hoping that we'll be able to have some of the smaller physical outdoor things like walking tours, like Mr. Ford's walking tour of historic Albina through the Black Panther Party lens, and other, we'll look for things that, you know, can match up that way because we miss being together, right? We miss being together.
Yeah, I think that's kind of possible. I mean, it should be, right? Let's hope so. So let's talk about Martha Bakes. The subtitle is A Biography of a Revolution and Insurrection That Never Happened, and it's written by your longtime friend and collaborator, and my friend too, Don Wilson Glenn, and it's a solo show, and it has a wonderful theater artist that I've worked with way long time ago, Adrian Flagg, and she performs Martha Washington. So I have to ask, why, you know, maybe I should ask Don this, but why Martha Washington?
Well, first, let me say that we're presenting only act one of Martha Bakes in the Fertile Ground, which is Martha's biography. And there is still Act Two, which is Ona Marie Judge's solo show. And then there is a third act, which will be a denouement between the two of them. So it uses the device of the solo show, but in two actually separate acts. And so what happened, Dime, was I guess now two summers ago, Don and I were talking and thinking that we were coming up to the 100th anniversary of the suffrage movement, and that, you know, that amendment of the Constitution giving women the rights to vote. He was talking about how women during that time, you know, had been a very integral part of the Constitution and the birth of the nation in keeping the men civilized over dinner parties, you know, so the factions that had been always with us as a nation. And I was like, you know, it would be amazing if you could write a play about that. That would be really cool. That would be something that could help us celebrate and learn, because there was so little information that at least I remember learning about the revolution and the birth of the Constitution and our founding mothers. And then, you know, COVID happened and everything got put on hold and wasn't sure how any of this would go forward. As I know many other businesses, the theater especially, trying to understand how any projects could go forward. And then Don and I had already spoken about, wouldn't this be a wonderful opportunity to, from the very beginning of developing a new piece, consider how curriculum and study guide and these kinds of materials could be developed alongside it, so that the piece as a whole has an educational opportunity, because it's based on underheard history. So then with our theater world adapting and all business adapting to Zoom and virtual, the next step was this idea that, well, okay, so how about if we actually film it? Like literally film it and edit it, and not just in the Zoom way, but in a larger way, with the idea being that it can live for educational opportunity. And a wonderful group called People for a Mutual Education, who are just kind of coming out about in this last year, are on their way to develop the curriculum and study guide materials that teachers can use in the classroom. And now since COVID, with everyone in the classrooms having to be able to adapt to this, it seemed like a good marriage to find pipelines to engage young people and older people in this part of our American story, or her story.
Her story, not his story, mm-hmm. right? What issues does the play bring up? I mean, what do we learn about Martha Washington?
You mentioned Adrienne Flagg, right? So she just is a joy on all so many levels. But this play, although based in historical fact, imagines a fictitious slave uprising on Mount Vernon. And the fact is that when George Washington died, he left in his will that upon Martha Washington's death, his slaves would then be set free. So this play imagines that the slaves have somehow learned the details of George's will, and just Martha standing between them and freedom. And so an uprising has begun on Mount Vernon, and Martha barricades herself in the colonial kitchen, and to calm herself begins a cooking show to us. She makes her three-course meal, and as she does, she recounts her participation in the birth of our nation and her participation with scant representation. And so we learn a little about all of the, you know, the founding mothers and her relationship with them. And then we are also introduced into what part is her story that she tells about how she can make it with all these opposing forces, right? You know, I've owned slaves, yet I feel that we all should have our inalienable rights. Right? So it's not an easy, like, direct line, which, you know, offers, quite frankly, for a lot of situational comedy.
Well, yeah, there's so many contradictions in just what you just said,
exactly.
Right? But I'm hoping that she will be baking something that's historically correct now. I mean, back then, what did they eat? I really probably wouldn't like it very much.
Yes. And, you know, my thought was that we would, for this year's Fertile Ground, you know, everything, as I'm sure many theaters have the experience of being very much off their schedule. And, you know, I was like, well, we'll just do a staged reading for Fertile Ground. But this play is so physical in its storytelling. And Adrian Flagg is so delightful as a physical performer that we just went there. So it is I promise you, this is the most physical staged reading you have ever seen.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, definitely. Martha Bakes, A Biography of a Revolution and Insurrection That Never Happened. Wow, that whole insurrection thing really rings true right now. Premieres Sunday, January 31st at 4:30 p.m., and it will be available through February 15th. The runtime is 50 minutes. And the show will be available through Fertile Ground's Facebook page and also YouTube links. And you can find all that at fertilegroundpdx.org. And there's also more info at vanportmosaic.org. And I have that link at another .org, stationstudio.org.
You know, I also wanted to give a big shout out to our film director, Nora Coley, who is incredible. She and Misty Eddy, this was an all-female cast and crew, too. We had an opportunity to pause in rehearsal to watch Kamala Harris's acceptance, you know, speech of being our newest vice president. So that was an exciting moment for all of us, vice president-elect.
Damaris Webb, it's so great to catch up with you. I mean, seriously, I miss you.
I sincerely miss you.
I do. Yeah. And it's good to see you and to talk with you and to know that everything's fine for right now.
We're here, we're alive, and we're looking to the future while still being connected to the past.
I think there's so much to look forward to. And right now, you know, this pandemic has kept life pretty simple for me. And so I just appreciate all the things that are good. And that's what we have to do as long as we're alive and as long as we can have a modicum of happiness. I think we're doing okay. And health, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Deep gratitude.
And thank you. Gratitude for you for being here today. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org. You can also like us at facebook.com/stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Demi Roberts. We're going to go out with a song that I like that keeps me happy. It's called Stick on Me by Joe Kai. And here is music at joekai.com.
Yes. So I have been with you, but I know not where we go. No, I am no longer scared, but I find that I'm reaching for